Hello, you're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Tonight, we're going to be talking about cannabis legalization all the way from Zimbabwe to Oregon. Let's get it started. First on the docket, we have from NASDAQ.com, Malawi legalizes medical marijuana from March 2020. Marijuana legalization continues to advance around the world. Malawi's parliament passed a bill last week that will permit the cultivation and sale of cannabis for medicinal use or to process the hemp fibers for industrial use. Malawi joins four other African countries that have loosened laws relating to cannabis: Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, and Lesotho. Lawmakers are hoping that cannabis cultivation can provide an economic boost to Malawi, one of the world's poorest countries. Boniface Kazimira, a former member of parliament who in 2015 pushed for legalizing hemp, sees this is a great opportunity for the country of 19 million people. Quoted, "It is my strong view that cannabis will, in the long run, replace tobacco to become our major cash crop that will contribute hugely to the GDP." One cannabis company that has already made inroads in Africa is Canadian producer Aphria. In 2018, it entered into a joint venture with Verve Group, which in turn acquired a majority stake in Verve Dynamics, a medical marijuana producer in Lesotho. Among Aphria's goals in expanding into Africa was to bring down its costs. At the time of the deal, the CEO Vic Neufeld noted, quote, "Verve is poised to become one of the lowest cost producers of medical cannabis extracts in the world." Aphria's strong international presence has been key to its growth. In its most recent quarter, CC Pharma, which generates distribution revenue for Aphria in Germany, contributed 86.4 million Canadian dollars in sales, more than 71% of the company's total net revenue of 120.1 million Canadian. A little-known Canadian company just unlocked what some experts think could be the key to profiting off the coming marijuana boom. And make no mistake, it is coming. Cannabis legalization is sweeping over North America. 11 states plus Washington, D.C. have all legalized recreational marijuana over the last few years. And full legalization came to Canada in October 2018. And one under-the-radar Canadian company is poised to explode from this coming marijuana revolution, because a game-changing deal just went down between the Ontario government and this powerhouse company, and you need to hear this story today if you've ever considered investing in pot stocks. Written by David Jakielski from NASDAQ.com. Next on the docket, we have from Bloomberg.com, Zimbabwe kicks off cannabis industry with prison plantation. From October, Zimbabwe, which is repealing its laws banning cannabis production, has launched the industry by planting industrial hemp on the grounds of the main prison in the capital, Harare. The drive to grow industrial hemp, which will be followed by legalizing the production of medical cannabis, is a bid to diversify its crop exports away from tobacco as global pressure mounts to curb smoking. "The project is the first of its kind," said Pierre Shiri, the agricultural minister, at event opening the project at Harare Central Remand Prison. prisoners will not be tending the crop as the cannabis will be grown by the Zimbabwe Industrial Hemp Trust, a private company which will take advantage of the tight security of the prison to run the pilot project. Quoted, "This is still a research project," said Zoradzai Maraveke, the founder of the trust. "We are still studying the basic adaptation of the different varieties on Zimbabwe soil and this climate." That was from Bloomberg.com. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's bring this up right here. Going to Oregon from OregonLive.com. Police investigate burglary ring that targeted Oregon, Southwest Washington cannabis businesses. Portland and Salem police seized a cache of guns, money, and marijuana on Friday in the course of investigation into a burglary ring that targeted marijuana businesses. Portland police officials said the Bureau's Narcotic and Organized Crime Unit served a warrant in Salem based on their investigation of a string of burglaries at cannabis businesses in Oregon and Southwest Washington. The Salem Police Department assisted in the operation, and the police seized 16 firearms, 33,000 cash American, 30 pounds of marijuana, and 6 pounds of butane hash oil marijuana concentrate, and assorted burglary tools. They also found clothing and other material from some of the businesses targeted. Police disclosed few details into the operation. Assistant Chief Andrew Schwerer tweeted Sunday that at least one person was arrested, but the Bureau withheld information on arrests and the location where the warrant was served, citing the ongoing investigation. Written by Elliot Nius for OregonLive.com. Next on the docket, Smoke News Radio from CapitalPress.com, we have Oregon Hemp Growers Get a Reality Check, from February 2020, written by George Plavin and written by Sir Jason Brodsky. Mount Angel, Oregon. Hemp may be the new big crop in Oregon, but Dim Shinasase warns it does not come without risks. Shinasase is the managing owner of SF Oil, part of the Inversion Family Farms in Woodburn, Oregon. The farm began growing hemp in 2016 and started FS Oil to extract cannabinol, or CBD, from the plants. CBD is commonly used to treat various ailments, including pain, anxiety, seizures, and muscle spasms. Since the 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp at the federal level, the number of licensed growers and processors like FS Oil has skyrocketed in Oregon. In 2015, there were 13 combined hemp growers and handlers, according to the State Department of Agriculture. Last year, that number had ballooned to 1,961 growers and 597 handlers. Some industry experts predict CBD sales in the United States could reach $20 billion by 2024, though Shinasase said it remains a perilous market for hemp growers. He joined a panel of speakers to discuss hemp and other trends in agriculture as part of the annual SEDCOR Ag Breakfast in Mount Angel. "The biggest challenge," Shinasase said, "is finding a buyer for the product after harvest." Quoted, "Everyone thinks they're going to get rich in this, and that's just not the case," Shinasase said. FS Oil contracts to sell CBD oil to Charlotte's Web, a company in Colorado. The farm also produces its own line of CBD-infused retail products, such as oils and creams, under the brand name Red Barn Hemp. Hemp is a close relative of marijuana. though it contains just a fraction of tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, the main psychoactive compound that gets users high. The USDA announced its interim hemp production rules late last year, intended to give growers clarity on testing protocols while opening access to programs such as crop insurance and farm loans. Yet Shinasase said there is still uncertainty about banking, interstate commerce, and hot fields where hemp tests higher than 0.3% THC limit. He also cautioned growers about signing processing contracts with potentially bad actors. There are a number of people who may offer you a contract to grow, then may not honor that contract after you've harvested it, Shinasase is quoted as saying. Sunny Summers, cannabis policy coordinator for the Oregon Department of Agriculture, said regulators have their hands full trying to manage the state's hemp program so far in 2020. Summers said the department has received three times the number of applications as this time last year. ODA is seeking funding from the state legislature for six new positions to handle the increased workload. Summers said ODA has also submitted comments about the USDA production rules in search of more flexibility. In particular, she said a provision that would require all hemp testing to be done solely at labs registered by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration could cause major problems. Quoted, "We currently have zero labs in Oregon with a DEA license," Summers said. Quote, "Right there, we're going to kill the industry if we can't get some movement or change." Finally, Summers said the department is working across multiple agencies to ensure hemp growers are complying with regulations. ODA was founded an assistant water master at the Oregon Water Resources Department to investigate water rights complaints in Southern Oregon. Summers said staff is also working with local law enforcement to help officers distinguish between hemp and marijuana transported across state lines. Quoted, "It looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck, but it might not be a duck anymore," she said. The Strategic Economic Development Corp, better known as SEDCOR, is a nonprofit economic development organization serving Marion Polk and Yamhill communities. It hosts the AG Breakfast to highlight trends in agriculture, which employs roughly 15,000 people in three countries. More than 9% of local private sector jobs. This article was from CapitalPress.com. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next from Zimbabwe, we have from HighTimes.com, Zimbabwe will repeal laws banning cannabis cultivation, by Thomas Edward from August 2019. Seeking to bolster revenue and exports, Zimbabwe will repeal its laws that prohibit the production of cannabis. The announcement came Tuesday from the country's information minister, Monica Mutsvangwa, who said that the reform will allow farmers to grow industrial hemp to export. Ultimately, the goal is for hemp to replace tobacco as a South African nation's leading crop export. The global tobacco sales, slumping from decades of health campaigns and the recent rise of vaping products, combined with the worldwide rollbacks on prohibitions against cannabis and hemp, the change to the laws is a signal that Zimbabwe is looking toward the future. Mutsvangwa told members of the press gathered in the capital city of Harare, as quoted by Bloomberg Press, that the crop can be a good substitute to the leading export crop, tobacco, which is at high risk of being banned globally. Zimbabwe is mirrored as one of the deepest economic crises the country has seen in decades. The staggering inflation on food and devastating drought leaving millions hungry. A report from the United Nations last month found that more than a third of households in rural Zimbabwe, amounting to 3.5 million people, are dangerously food insecure. By early 2020, the report said 59% of rural households, or more than 5.5 million people, will be food insecure. That crisis has coincided with Zimbabwe's rollback of anti-cannabis laws. As the cash-strapped and conservative country continues to reconsider its prohibition, in the spring of last year, Zimbabwe became the second African country to legalize marijuana for medical purposes. Lesotho, the tiny landlocked nation encircled by South Africa, became the first in 2017. But government officials continue to work out regulatory barriers. Last year, only a month after announcing the new law on medical cannabis, Zimbabwe hit the brakes on its implementation as it worked to comply with a number of United Nations treaties. Mutsvangwa told reporters on Tuesday that medical marijuana will take a long time to set up structures. Quoted, in March, Zimbabwe approved the first license for a private cannabis company, Precision Cannabis Therapeutics Zimbabwe, to produce medical marijuana under the country's new law. As of February, the Zimbabwe government had reportedly received applications from 37 companies to produce cannabis, a number it hopes will only grow. Quoted, the government of Zimbabwe is open for business and welcomes investors in all sectors of the economy, including licensing for the production of medical cannabis, said Nathan Emery, the chief operating officer of Precision Cannabis Therapeutics Zimbabwe. Next on the docket was Smoke News Radio. From businesslive.co.za, cash-strapped Zimbabwe to make cannabis main export. Written by Kevin Samaita and read to you by Jason Brodsky. Harare. The cash-strapped Zimbabwean government said on Tuesday that it will amend its laws to allow industrial production and export of cannabis in a desperate effort to boost its foreign currency earnings. Information Minister Monica Mutsvaga said the country is looking to make cannabis exports a top foreign currency earner and compete with tobacco, which is the country's largest export earning outside mining. Quoted, the crop can be a good substitute to the leading export crop, tobacco, which is currently facing possibilities of being banned internationally due to its adverse effects on health, she said. The country is facing a severe foreign currency crunch that has led to shortages of fuel, medicines, and basics such as bread. She said the focus will be on hemp, which comes from the same plant family as marijuana, but has also none of the psychoactive substance found in marijuana. Currently, Zimbabwe, quoted, only allows for the cultivation and processing of cannabis, specifically for medicinal and scientific purposes. In view of the foregoing, the law governing the use and control of hemp in the country will be repealed to reflect the current industrial thrust of the country. Experts distinguish hemp as an agricultural product as opposed to cannabis, which is considered a drug. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from usnews.com, Oregon, Medford considers hemp ban. Medford city leaders are considering a ban on growing hemp within the city. Written on March 14, 2020 by the Associated Press. Medford, Oregon. Medford city leaders are considering a ban on growing hemp within the city. The Mail Tribune reports the Medford City Council this week reviewed possible code changes that address the city's concerns. The city previously banned growing recreational cannabis. The council, also reviewing where hemp processing facilities might be located, most likely in areas zoned industrial or heavy commercial. The city currently doesn't have any hemp grows inside city limits, though there are hemp grow sites just outside the city, including one near an elementary school. The city doesn't have any language in its ordinance that restricts hemp production or processing, though the city passed a number of ordinances from 2015 to 2018 related to marijuana. The councilors considered about the impact on neighbors, particularly because of the flower's strong odor. After the recreational cannabis ban in Medford, Jackson County saw a massive influx of hemp grows, surpassing the acreage of pears and grapes combined. Next on Smoke News Radio, we have from KTVZ.com, three arrested in Deschutes County illegal marijuana grow raids. Detectives find plants, processed product, extract, cash, guns, and black mold. Bend, Oregon. Three Bend and Redmond residents were arrested on drug charges during raids on an illegal marijuana grow operation at three homes and a storage unit around the Deschutes County that turned up hundreds of plants, processed marijuana and extract, and $127,000 in cash, several guns, and black mold at one location, authorities said Thursday. Sheriff's Office marijuana enforcement detectives, working with the county's marijuana enforcement team, Central Oregon Drug Enforcement, CODE, and the Sheriff's Office SWAT team, served search warrants Wednesday at four locations. Sergeant William Bailey said, quoted, "Our detectives, in partnership with the drug team and the SWAT team, did have an impact on illegal marijuana grow in Deschutes County that was ultimately and very likely sending marijuana into a black market or other illegal distribution situation," quoted Bailey told News Channel 21 on Thursday. The first warrant was executed at a home and property on Zach Lane, south of Sun River. That was the focus of a long-term investigation, Bailey said. Detectives seized more than 350 marijuana plants, quoted, in various stages of growth to support a steady supply of usable marijuana, Bailey said, along with about 16 pounds of processed marijuana. Quoted, detectives also encountered unsanitary conditions where the marijuana was being produced, to include suspected black mold, which reinforces the health concerns associated with illegal marijuana grows, quoted the sergeant said in a news release. A second raid occurred at a home and property on Bosman Trail, east of Bend, where detectives seized about 200 pounds of processed marijuana, 17 pounds of marijuana extract, about $127,000 in cash, and several firearms, quoted Bailey. Later Wednesday, based on new information, search warrants were served at a home on Northwest 15th Street in Redmond and a storage unit in Northwest Redmond in connection with the investigation, quoting, nothing significant was seized at those subsequent locations. Joshua Leo Lippincott, 42, of Bend, and Amber Maria Kirkendall, 40, both of Bend, were arrested and lodged at the county jail in Bend on illegal marijuana and marijuana extract possession, manufacture, and distribution charges. Rider By 44 of Redmond also is charged with illegal marijuana possession, manufacture, and distribution. All three were released later on their own recognizance, a jail officer said. Neighbors who live near the raided property on Bosman Trail told News Channel 21 Thursday Lipcott Kickendale were constantly in and out of the house and always kept to themselves. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next on the docket, we have from thegrizzle.com, South Africa warned of cannabis cultivation risks, written by Martin Green, February 20th, 2020. An influential trade body has warned that South Africa's decision to ramp up commercial cannabis and hemp production could jeopardize the country's food and safety supply. AgriSA was responding to President Cyril Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address, in which he pledged to build up South Africa's medical cannabis industry. He also said the government would open up and regulate the commercial use of hemp products in order to provide opportunities for small-scale farmers. AgriSA, a 116-year-old federation of agricultural organizations, warned that Ramaphosa's government must consider the entire value chain when designing policy for the farming of both cannabis and hemp. The industry body said that farmers may decide to switch to farming cannabis due to the cash incentives on offer, which could, quote, negatively impact the farming of commodities needed for food security. It also warned that these farmers might not have enough water or fertilizer to ensure a safe, successful crop. AgriSA pointed to crime rates in rural areas and said all crops must be kept secure, while urging the government to take appropriate measures to prevent cannabis production falling into illegal use. Lesotho was the first African country to legalize medical cannabis production, and it already has a burgeoning industry. Zimbabwe issued its first cannabis license in March 2019. Zambia legalized medical cannabis in 2019, and Uganda drafted framework to govern its nascent cannabis industry last month. South Africa decriminalized marijuana for personal use in September 2018. Low-level home cultivation was permitted, but the commercial cultivation and sale of cannabis remained illegal. CBD wellness products sales were legalized on a 12-month trial basis in May 2019, and now it is moving towards a full medical cannabis industry. Companies producing CBD products in South Africa have responded with excitement and relief to Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address. Afriplex, which opened the country's first cannabis testing lab last year, said the announcement was long overdue. Marijuana activist Myrtle Clark quoted, "We were very excited to hear two things, commercialization and small farms, in the same sentence. So we need the arrests to stop, the police to stop acting with impunity and going into people's houses even after the privacy judgment." Next on Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky from TheArticle.com, written by Nikombani Ndoluvu, "African countries are cashing in on cannabis," written in March 2020, a number of African countries are tapping into the lucrative marijuana market. legalizing and relaxing laws on cannabis in the continent. From Uganda to Zimbabwe, there is a growing interest in this valuable crop through exports following years of resistance, mostly from religious groups opposed to the marijuana drugs legalization. In February, Malawi began the latest country to relax laws against cannabis growing and selling, joining around 10 other nations that have decriminalized marijuana for medical purposes. Zambia legalized marijuana production for export in December 2019, while Lesotho was the first African country to legalize cannabis in 2017 for medical purposes. In September 2018, South Africa's Constitutional Court ruled that the recreational use of cannabis was no longer a criminal offense, amid estimates that a legalized cannabis industry in the country could be worth more than $1.7 billion by 2023. Quoted, "The right to privacy is not confined to a home or private dwelling. It will not be a criminal offense for an adult person to use or be in possession of cannabis in private space," quoted Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said in his ruling. Zimbabweans are now able to apply for licenses to grow cannabis for medical and research purposes. The five-year renewable $10,000 license fee allows growers to possess, transport, and sell fresh and dried cannabis as well as cannabis oil. The international market for legal marijuana is expected to reach $73.6 billion by 2027, with medical marijuana set to make up more than two-thirds of that, according to February 2020 report by Grandview Research. Grandview Research says cannabis production is anticipated to expand at an annual rate of 18.1% during the forecast period. Legalization of cannabis for medical as well as adult leisure use is expected to promote growth, the report finds. The report also emphasizes the potential of cannabis, quoted, for treating severe medical conditions such as cancer, arthritis, and Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's disease, among other neurological conditions. Quoted, "Moreover, increasing need for pain management therapies, along with growing disease burden of chronic pain among elders, is expected to boost the product demand." According to the United Nations estimates, more than 10,000 tons of cannabis is produced across the African continent each year. This is likely to add billions of dollars to the value of the global market of legal cannabis. A UN November 2007 report, Cannabis in Africa, found that at the time, the highest level of cannabis production took place on the African continent. In 2005, it said about 10,500 metric tons, or roughly 25% of global production of cannabis, took place in Africa. It found that much of that production was consumed in Africa, with an estimated 38.2 million African adults, or 7.7% of the adult population, using the marijuana drug each year, far higher than the 3.8% of cannabis users among the world population aged 15 to 64. Production was concentrated in Morocco. The UN report adds that during the period 1995 to 2005, a total of 19 out of 53 African countries reported the cultivation of cannabis on their territory, with 28 African countries identified as source countries producing cannabis and 35 reported to have seized cannabis plants. an indirect indicator for the existence of cannabis production in a country. Malawi, it said, is renowned for the quality of its cannabis. About 3 to 9 tons are seized annually in this small country of about 13 million people, suggesting a substantial export market. Quoted, the world's largest cannabis resin producer continues to be Morocco. Gross income for Moroccan farmers who cultivate cannabis is estimated to have amounted to about $325 million in 2004. Opposition to the legalization or relaxation of laws against cannabis growing, however, persists mainly from religious conservatives. Quote, we have a problem of drug abuse in the country, and it therefore boggles the mind why we legalize cannabis production when authorities are failing to deal with it. In the event that the rule of law is not followed and there is no transparency in handling the production of cannabis, then we are in big trouble, quoted Norman Kavisa, a representative of an African religious church sect in Zimbabwe, popularly known as Va Postori, the White Garments Church. Prohibition, however, is seen as causing more harm than good. A report titled A Brief Agricultural History of Cannabis in Africa from Prehistory to Canna Colony by Chris Duval argues that drug prohibition produces more problems than benefits. Quoted, prohibition places a price premium on cannabis, giving it a form of money-earning potential that legal crops cannot offer. The premium rewards offer farmers who accept the risks of illegal behavior, Duval report says. Quoted, if police raid a garden before harvest, an entire season's labor might yield nothing. Farmers are also vulnerable to war makers, gangs, and others who use violence to capture the value of crops that they did not sow. That was from thearticle.com. Next on Smoke News Radio, we have, see if this one's about marijuana. Nope, that one's not about potty. Pop, pop, pop. Okay, next, let's jump back over to Oregon. Smoke News Radio, read to you by Jason Brodsky. From the next article from Argu Observer, ArgusObserver.com, written in March 10th, 2020, dispensary weighs in on guards. The OLCC says, it's up to the dispensary to go above and beyond. Written by Leslie Thompson from the Argus Observer. Ontario. A homicide outside a local retailer on March 1st has spurred many conversations, including one by the city about whether to address the matter by enforcing security at similar retailers, specifically recreational marijuana dispensaries. Though major crimes have happened even within recent months, at other local businesses, the murder of a man outside Burnt River Farms spurred forth the first discussion among city officials about possibly requiring dispensaries to strengthen security with the addition of guards. The matter for now has been turned over to the city's marijuana ad hoc committee, which is set to take up the issue for discussing it at its next meeting. The Argus Observer caught up with Sean McKay, co-owner of Burnt River, regarding the possibility of strengthening security measures at dispensaries. My first thought is that anytime the city requires us to do something, The Argus Observer caught up with Sean McKay, co-owner of Burnt River, regarding the possibility of strengthening security measures at dispensaries. quoted, "My first thought is that anytime the city requires us to do something, I like to know that the consideration is being made for all businesses, not just the marijuana industry." However, he said the conversation of security is still taking place between owners at dispensaries. "I think it's a situation we're still considering and accepting, talking to other store owners in town about what makes the most sense." He added, adding that there needed to be balance in keeping customers safe and making them feel comfortable too. At the end of the day, it's a store that's no different from a gas station or Walmart, McKay said. Quoted, "It's just a high traffic area and things can happen." The fatal stabbing murder that occurred outside of the dispensary is most likely the first of its kind tied to the industry in Oregon. Quoted, "I think this particular issue in Ontario is a first of that type," said Mark Pettiger, spokesman for OLCC's marijuana division, in a police interview on Friday, adding that he personally doesn't believe dispensaries attract criminal elements in their clientele. While the Oregon Liquor Control Commission did open a compliance intake for the case at Burnt River, the agency in this case is really just there if law enforcement needs them. Quoted, "As Ontario Police Department's investigation continues, we'll continue to monitor. It's really their investigation," Pettiger explained. "There have been other major crimes at facilities throughout the state, but the ones that stand out are crimes that Pettiger could easily recall have involved robberies or burglaries. One of these was a robbery in November of 2019 at Oregon Bud Company, a recreational marijuana retail store, which resulted in theft of product and money. Another of these during the same time frame involved a wholesale location, Shadowbox Farms. In that case, prowlers pried open a skylight on the roof and roped their way down. According to Pettiger, the heist was valued at $1 million, according to Portland news agencies that reported on the story. Quoted, "It was pretty significant and all captured on camera," he says. Another bigger case was a couple of years ago in Southern Oregon, which involved a strong arm robbery at a grow site that had recently harvested. In that case, the farmer was tied up during the theft. As to what extent major crimes are tracked by the OLCC, Pettiger said he's not certain, but the entity's security requirements at the time are limited to high-resolution video surveillance systems. Once a dispensary meets the OLCC's minimum requirements, quoted, "If they want to go above and beyond to install more necessary or have a more robust alarm system, they can do that," end quote. This could include a mobile panic button in addition to a fixed one, or a more secure method of storage for product and money that is required. Though they are not required if a dispensary does opt to have security guards. Those guards must have gone through a certain level of certification per OLCC. Those who are certified as DPSST guards, quote, "are more broadly knowledgeable about what's right and wrong," end quote, when it comes to rules for securing marijuana facilities. Oregon's Department of Public Safety Standards and Training provides training and certification for private security services in the marijuana industry. McKay is aware of the state's requirement if Burnt River does opt for security guards, as producers, processors, wholesalers, laboratories, and retail license holders in the state who hire a person to provide a security service without proper certification can lead to administrative action, such as civil penalty or revocation of certification or licensure. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from theargusleader.com, Oglala Sweet Tribe approves medical recreational cannabis, written by Stephen Groves from the Associated Press on March 11, 2020. Members of Oglala Sweet Tribe passed a referendum to legalize medical and recreational marijuana on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, according to preliminary results from the tribe's election commission. A proposal to allow alcohol in the tribe's casino failed. The results of Tuesday's vote will be certified by the end of the month in the tally from all precincts, announced on Wednesday morning. Both medical and recreational marijuana passed by wide margins, with 82% of voters approving medical marijuana and 74% approving recreational pot. The alcohol proposal failed by 12 percentage points. The Oglala Sweet will become the only Native American tribe to set up a cannabis market in a state where it's otherwise illegal. The tribal council is next supposed to enact laws for how marijuana will be legalized and regulated. According to initial plans, the tribe will not take ownership of cannabis production or retail, but license individuals and put a retail tax on pot. The tribal council will take up the issue on March 31st. Chase Iron Eyes, a spokesperson for the tribe's president, Julian Bear Runner, said the vote reflected the difference in how many tribal members perceive alcohol and marijuana. He called alcohol a poison that was forced on the tribe, whereas he described marijuana as a healing plant that presented a path out of poverty and historical trauma. Iron Eyes said that through traditional Lakota society still eschews both alcohol and pot, people swayed by the medicinal and economic potential of cannabis. Tribal leaders have pitched setting up a marijuana resort near the tribe's casino in order to attract tourists visiting the Black Hills. They envision a small ecotourism industry developing from the increase in visitors. Rick Graygrass, who is part of the tribe's executive leadership and pushed the marijuana proposal, said he hopes to have dispensaries open by August or September. He is still formulating the regulations that will be presented to the tribal council. He expected the council to limit people to purchasing an ounce of pot and enact security measures to prevent people from taking it off tribal land. Still, the proposal sets up potential conflict with federal and state authorities. The Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe is in the eastern part of the state, attempted to grow and sell marijuana in 2015, but ended up burning its cannabis plants after conflicts with federal and state governments. Graygrass argued that the tribe's treaty with the federal government allows them to act as a sovereign nation. Quoted, "I think we have a stronger stand on Pine Ridge," he said. Tribal leaders said they want to cooperate with authorities in setting up a marijuana market and have discussed their plans with the U.S. Attorney's Office for State, Federal, and State Law Enforcement has not commented on the issue. The tribe is also looking for ways to get people prescriptions for medical marijuana. Indian Health Services, which provides most of the healthcare on the reservation, will not prescribe marijuana because it is a federal agency. The tribe's current plans do not have special provisions for people with prescriptions. South Dakota voters will also decide on medical and recreational marijuana legalization in a referendum ballot in November. If voters decide to legalize marijuana in the state, it could mean a boom for the tribe's marijuana market. they would have a head start in growing and selling pot, making tribal members the only retailers in the state for a period. Trent Hancock, a marijuana producer from Oregon who has helped the tribe formulate its pot plans, hoped that tribal members could sell 100 million of the product in a year under that scenario. Next, on Smoke News Radio, with your host Jason Brodsky, abcnewsgo.com. Report Oregon marijuana sales 400% stronger near Idaho. Portland, Oregon. Marijuana sales in Oregon along the Idaho state line are 420% the statewide average, according to a state report. Idaho residents are purchasing recreational marijuana in Oregon because it is illegal in Idaho, the report released Friday by the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis said. The report also showed stronger marijuana sales for Washington State along its borders with Idaho in 2019 than along its borders with Oregon or Canada. Quoted, the sales in counties along the Idaho border were much stronger than I anticipated, analyzer Josh Lehner said. Quoted, obviously recreational marijuana is not legal in Idaho. But even after throwing the data into a rough border tax model that accounts for incomes, number of retailers, tax rates, and the like, there remains a huge border effect, end quote. A border effect occurs when two neighboring jurisdictions have different rules, prompting residents to travel to nearby region to take advantage of the different regulations, experts said. The report found about 75% of Oregon sales and about 35% of Washington state sales in counties along the Idaho border were caused by the border effect. Idaho borders three states that have legalized recreational marijuana sales, including Oregon, Washington, and Nevada, the officials said. Advocating for legalizing medical marijuana have started collecting signatures to get an initiative on the general election ballot, the Idaho Statesman has reported. The number 420 is a colloquial term referencing marijuana or cannabis consumption. Thank you. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Believe in yourself, everybody. Do not let fear run your life. Find love in the world and be loving to everyone out there. And next, we have the world news update from our fella Jack Johnson with a little guitar. And I thank you very much for listening to the Smoke Rings News Network and wish you a wonderful day. Take it away, Mr. Johnson.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eyes. But mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies.